Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson. Today's podcast is about digging up the past. Before we get to that, just a few announcements. As always, I'd like to remind you that the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, is available on Amazon Kindle for immediate download. It's a nice text that we wrote for parents of children from birth through adolescence to help you better understand normal childhood behavior, but also to appreciate more challenging childhood behavior that you can hopefully use some strategies to manage and to prevent from becoming ongoing problems and to prevent them from becoming even worse issues as the child develops. The Elimination Diet Manual is also available on Amazon Kindle, another great book that we wrote for helping people identify things that you may be eating, things you're consuming on a regular basis that could be contributing to mental, emotional, even physical health issues. 38 days is really all it takes that you can to eliminate some of these things from your diet and see what could be affecting some of those aspects of your life. Finally, the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is up and running on paydiallc.com. Click on the show notes and you can find the link to that takes you right to the page where you can read the outline and see all about the course. There's 20 different lessons that walk you through what ADHD is, how it changes over time, what our typical treatments are for it, and more importantly, strategies that you can use every day in your home to help bring some structure and better management to raising your child with some of those behavioral challenges. So check that out. It's great. And for the next week or so, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, up until the end of August, we are running a special where you get 50% off. Again, the information about that will be in the show notes, so check that out, and hopefully you'll be able to benefit from that and enjoy what you'll get from that course, because it's not just good for ADHD, it's good for any childhood issues, regular childhoods, typical children, just about anything you can think of. The strategies that we teach in that class are basic strategies that every parent could use, but they're especially important for parents of children with ADHD. So I hope you benefit from that. So, all right, that's all the announcements. Again, this podcast is about digging up the past. I hope you enjoy this, I hope that it helps with some of your relationships. So enjoy. Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie, and today's podcast is about digging up the past, sort of that tendency that we have sometimes to bring up issues from the past that end up leading us to arguments and fights and confrontations with our significant others. So, you know, this is one of the biggest issues. It's even almost a caricature of relationships now where, you know, a lot of comedians and people talk about, you know, the times that we spend talking with our significant other and we're in an argument about one thing, and then all of a sudden issues from years or months, sometimes weeks ago, start coming back up again. And it starts out where we're having a discussion about one thing, and then all of a sudden we're back in the middle of a fight from 2 years ago. Sometimes, though, we bring those things up from the past, not necessarily when we're arguing or in a confrontation like that, but sometimes we bring them up when we're feeling good, when our relationship is really strong, and we think, you know what, this is a time, because we're doing so well right now, this is a time where we can talk about some of those past experiences that have really troubled me. We can talk about them and fix them and not have to, I don't have to feel like that's weighing on me anymore. We can deal with those issues and get rid of them. And so we bring them up and, you know, unfortunately, as we could probably predict if we sat down and really thought about it, things end up going bad and all the good that we were having in our relationship at the time many times begins to falter and we begin to have problems. We start arguing again. And, you know, that sort of bringing up that past experience tends to sort of trigger some of those emotions in both parties, leading to more arguments and more confrontations. So in this podcast, I'm going to talk about some of the things that you can do to deal with some of those past experiences so that you can resolve them But at the same time, do it in a healthy way so that it doesn't lead to more problems. You know, we can't, oftentimes, and especially depending on what those past experiences are, we certainly don't want to leave them unresolved because, as the examples that I used a moment ago, you know, we tend to hold on to some of that and it lies deep inside, and every once in a while those thoughts come back up and we begin to think about those things again, and we begin to return to those feelings, because when they're not resolved, those feelings are left relatively raw and sort of like an exposed nerve that just sits there, and whenever it's, you know, triggered just a little bit, it really sets off a cascade of problems and feelings and emotions and frustrations. So we need to deal with those things, but we need to do so in a healthy way. So some things that we can do to hopefully help with that and find a resolution for those things without creating more problems. Step one is, before you start, you need to lay down ground rules. Now, what I mean by ground rules is that you need to agree that you're going to be talking about this situation in the past. You're going to be talking about this issue that certainly frustrated you and probably frustrated your partner. And so you've got to agree that while you're going to be talking about that during this discussion, this time frame that you're going to talk about it, that we're going to do our best not to allow those past events to affect our present condition. It's maybe very obvious to think that, but it's also very easy to say that, despite the fact that it's a challenging thing to do. But if you go into it having that discussion, if you go into it saying, all right, we're going to talk about this, I want to talk about this situation from a couple of years ago, because it still eats at me a little bit, but I want us to be able to talk about it without getting into an argument that's going to ruin our plans to go out for dinner tonight. So I want to, you know, we want to start out with that impression. So we want to have that rule. We want to have that expectation and that plan going into it. Other rules that you want to think about are things like, you know, we're not going to raise our voice. We're not going to get emotional about it. We're not going to work to make excuses. We're not going to call each other names. We're not going to do the things that we know that we tend to do sometimes in these situations. We're going to agree not to do that, so that we are sure to avoid those kinds of pitfalls that really just spiral things downward into an argument or into some type of battle. Without these kinds of rules, things turn into basically fair game. We tend to say whatever we want to say. We tend to do whatever we want to do without considering the fact that, you know, again, with the example, we're supposed to go to dinner in just a couple of hours, and here we are now, we're arguing about something from 2 years ago that has no direct effect on what we're doing today. It was something that we didn't even have to talk about. We chose to talk about it because we want to deal with it and we want to cope with it, but we're choosing to talk about it because of the time frame because of the sort of the emotional state that we're in right now, and it's going to lead to problems. So setting these initial ground rules is going to be really important to make sure that both of you are playing by the same rules, that you're both going into it with the same impression, the same ideas, and that you're both going to work your best to make sure that things don't go sour. Now, the second thing is that you want to identify a specific time that you're going to have this discussion. Now, what this means is not just a specific start time, like say 3 o'clock. Okay, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have this discussion. But you also want to set a very specific end time. What happens is that we do very well at saying, okay, hey, after work tonight, you know, and after dinner, I want us to talk about this. But what we don't do, or the issue, I guess, with not setting an end time is that those discussions tend to go and go and go and go. And the longer these discussions go, the more likely we are to break the rules that we've already set, but also to get more emotional, because as we get tired, you know, having a discussion about anything for more than 30 or 45 minutes leads to some fatigue. And as we get fatigued, we get more irritable. And as we get more irritable, we're more likely to, again, break those rules that we did in step one, but we're also more likely to resort to statements and things that are just going to be problematic. So we want to make sure that we set a very specific start time, but also identify a very specific end time and agree, and again, maybe this would be in the part one rules, agree that we end at the end time, and if things are still unresolved, then we're going to schedule another time, not immediately after, not, you know, we're not going to start at 3, we're going to end at 3:30, and then if at 3:30 we're not resolved, we're not going to say, okay, now we're going to go ahead and start another one now and end at 4 o'clock. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to say, okay, we start at 3, end at 3:30. If at 3:25 we see that, okay, this isn't going to be resolved by 3:30, we say, okay, let's go ahead and end now, and, you know, let's talk about it again tomorrow evening or, you know, next week or something like that. Because you want to allow some of that break, some of that time to cool down a little bit before you get back into it and try to address some of those issues anymore. Again, if you have a conflict or some kind of issue and you're not resolving it in 30 minutes, it's a pretty complex problem for some reason, and it's going to take a little bit more time. So you want to have that time in between to reset yourself and to make sure that you're in the right mindset for having a discussion. The third thing is that, and again, this isn't an easy thing to do, but you want to work very hard at making sure that you don't allow your emotions to take over. You know, one of the reasons that we fail to resolve problems time and time again is because we have a tendency to allow our emotions to take over, which leads to us sometimes being unreasonable, sometimes, again, acting based upon feeling as opposed to, I don't want to say reality, but it sort of is reality. Sometimes we feel something so strongly that despite the fact that everything else contradicts it, we still believe it because our emotions are telling us that that's what it is. And so we really need to work hard to, you know, do our best to eliminate emotions from this whole situation and have a discussion about, you know, when this happened, this is how I responded. You know, you can talk about emotions, but try not to let your emotions fuel your discussion. So you can say, when you did this, it made me feel like this. Now, I can see that that is an unreasonable reaction, but I can't help that that's how it made me feel. And so I can work on this so that I don't continue to feel that way. But you know, if you just adjusted the way that you said it just a little bit, I may be able to, it may help me not respond in such an emotional way. Now, that kind of discussion said in a very pragmatic, very matter-of-fact, very, you know, emotionless type of way is really going to help you get to a resolution than if, more so than if you said it very angrily. So why do you keep doing these things to make me so angry? And you're really just, you know, fueling the discussion with emotion. You know, that just doesn't lead to good resolution. Because as soon as one person starts to show emotion, the other person is going to start showing emotion. And then everybody's getting defensive. And once we get defensive, well, there's not going to be very many resolutions from there. So part three is to really work hard to make sure that you do this conversation or have this discussion with as few immediate emotions as possible. You want to just have the discussion, again, very matter-of-factly, and talk about what happened and why it happened and how we're going to fix it. All right, so step four is really we start getting into, okay, so now what if? If you have these discussions and it does go bad, something happens, either one of you get emotional or one of you start getting frustrated or upset or some of those negative emotions from the past start coming back again. One of the things that is really, really critical is that you need to, again, end the conversation there. Say, okay, obviously, you know, this is a very challenging thing for us to talk about. So let's go ahead and stop here. Now let's go do something. We need to do something with just the two of you. It can be anything. It can be something intimate. It could be something just the two of you enjoy doing. But what you need to do in that time is we need to balance those negative emotions with something positive that you maybe would have been doing anyways. Remember that prior to you having this discussion, things were going relatively well in your relationship. So you don't want to allow this attempt to resolve an underlying problem. You don't want to take the risk or allow that to poison where your relationship is now. So as soon as it looks like it's going bad, one of you or both of you need to recognize that. Go ahead and stop the discussion and then proceed to do something together that's going to pull you back together. Do something, either go for a walk or just spend some time together, doing whatever, just to spend some time together to strengthen that that bond and that connection again. That connection that was probably just a little bit cracked from that discussion. You want to, as quickly as you can, heal that and put that back together. Again, you can come back later and try to talk about that issue again another time, but for right now, let's fix what's going on. Let's fix where we are right now, because I don't care how bad that situation was from the past, it's not worth ruining the good that we're having right now. So let's fix what's going on now, and then we'll address that again later. Now, the last thing, number five, is if you've tried this multiple times and it keeps leading to arguments or keeps leading to problems, or it keeps escalating to the point of new arguments and new confrontations, that's going to be a time where you're going to need help. You're going to need some type of mitigator or some type of therapist or counselor or something, someone to work with you who's going to try to help both of you find the resolution that you need. Most of the time when we are having difficulties like this, it's because each of you feel as though you're not being heard, or that the point that you're trying to make, or whatever the information is that you're trying to share, isn't being received by the other person adequately or in the way that you want them to receive it. And sometimes it means that you feel like you're just being completely dismissed, that the person isn't interested or doesn't care. Well, you need another person, a third person that is sort of removed from the situation, to be able to listen and to be able to help you find some of that common ground, because that third person may be able to say the same thing that you're saying in a slightly different way, so that your partner understands it better. I find that many times when I'm working with couples, that's exactly what is needed. I can listen and I can hear the two going back and forth with, you know, an argument or an issue, and many times I can say exactly what the wife said, but I say it, you know, slightly with maybe with different words or in a slightly different tone even. That sometimes really that's all that it is. It's because I'm not emotionally invested in the argument. I can say it in a different way, and then he understands. Oh, well, that's what you mean. Okay, well, you know, that's not what I was trying to convey, or that's not. I'm sorry that you understood it that way, but let me fix it. And so now we can get to a resolution. Oftentimes that's really all that's needed. It's just that other person to provide that sort of balance between the two of you. And sometimes, I have to service that person to say, no, you know what, you're really being unreasonable. To expect her to do that, or to expect him to be that way, you know, it's just not reasonable. That's not who he is, or that's not what she can do. So we need to, reorient your expectations if you want this to work out. So again, many times a therapist or a third party of some sort can serve that purpose and work as a mediator between the two of you, so that you can find a resolution in an amenable way. So if it's not working out, if you've tried it multiple times and it just keeps going sour, you know, get help. Sometimes it's just one or two sessions. I've had lots of couples that I've worked with, just once or twice we've met, and we just kind of tighten things up a little bit, just kind of fix some of those arguments or the perspectives, really, just a smidge, and it changes everything for them, and they're able to fix their issues, and then they can take those skills and apply them in the future with other issues. Sometimes a little bit of help, it goes a long way. So, all right. So I hope that helps. You know, we often find ourselves in these kinds of situations. I know I do. I know everybody that I know that lives life in a relationship, they experience this. And it doesn't have to be husband, wife, or partner, intimate partner relationships. It can be relationships at work or with bosses, coworkers, friends, other relatives, anything. Many times we have these kinds of situations, and we need to have a system in place for dealing with them and addressing it with these five steps or these five things to consider will help you be more successful in managing them in the future. So, all right. I hope it's helpful. Again, thanks so much for listening. I haven't said this in a while, but I want to mention if you listen to us on iTunes or if you choose to listen to us on iTunes, I really encourage you. I really hope that you will go on and write a review or rate us. I've been monitoring our positioning in iTunes, and you know, when you go in and type mental health into the podcast page, we're consistently in the 40s or so. But it's unbelievable to me, and this is something that's just specific to me, I think. But when I click on it, I look at some of the podcasts that are ranked ahead of us, higher than us, and so I don't understand it. But some of those podcasts haven't updated since like 2010. Some of them since 2009. Many of them 2012, 2014 since their last post. And maybe it's just that I don't understand iTunes's algorithms well enough to know why those podcasts would rank higher than us. But what I do know is that when you as listeners, write reviews and rate us, it boosts us up significantly. I can tell each time we get a rating or a review, I can see us rising in the ranks a little bit. And, you know, of course, I don't get anything based upon our ranks, but what it does is it allows us to be more visible to other people. Lots of times people will type in mental health in the iTunes search window, and, you know, it only shows 8 or 10 of the top, or the top 8 to 10 podcasts there. And, you know, if you're not in that top 8 to 10, a lot of people aren't able to find you because, you know, they'd have to click on show more and, you know, and then scroll down to find us. So if you have the chance, have the opportunity, click on iTunes, you know, do a rating, do a review, so other people know that we're here. Other people know that this is an available podcast so that they can join in on the conversation. They can write to us and we can talk about more things that are helpful to you and to all of us in our lives. The same thing goes for YouTube. We're working to build a little bit of a following on YouTube. So, you know, definitely go to the Mental Breakdown on page on our channel on YouTube and follow us, subscribe so that you can get all the updates. All of these podcasts are now going up on YouTube. And we're even going to go back and do some of the old ones. It'll just be a still picture. We don't have videos of those, but we're going to put the audio up on YouTube as well. So if you listen to us there, subscribe so that you can keep up with everything that we're doing. We're trying to get as much information out there as possible. And it just helps when you're writing reviews and subscribing and following and sharing this with your friends, you know, posting it on your Facebook page or whatever the case may be, just to get more people listening and more people following. So, all right. I spent a long time talking about that, but it just, man, I looked at it again this morning and it makes my brain explode to think about how these other podcasts are ranked ahead of us. So somebody would go and, you know, they click on number 4 on the list, and that number 4 hasn't been updated since 2014. And there we are, number 48. Not sure why. So, all right. So that's enough of that. So if you get a chance, that would be fantastic. All right. Well, until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie. Have a great weekend. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.